righty then. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Apparently, I have been misinformed. I believed that David Bellavia was going to be joining me in studio, and I certainly hope it is not my antiperspirant. I'm starting to have some doubts now about its efficacy. If people want to, this is a smaller room, smaller than you might think, and I'm just hoping that there ain't no human smell in the air. I'm just saying. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, and welcome to the program. So this has been like a really interesting and totally unexpected program. And believe me, the last thing I thought we'd be talking about today after doing the show from the SPCA serving Erie County yesterday, and by the way, thanks to everybody who donated, was animals. But we're talking about a different kind of animal. Now, before I launch into the topic, we have heard the sound of a screaming deer that Tanner Saunders pulled off of the internet. I had never heard a screaming deer before, but I have been attacked by a goose on two occasions. Yes, I was attacked by a goose. And I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit freaky. It was a little bit scary. I think I probably could have taken the goose, but those wings, they've got some reach. He might have smacked me around a little bit. I think I would have prevailed ultimately, but the goose would have given me a bit of a challenge. So, Tanner has been able, I believe, to find the sound. You might think of them as docile layers of poop everywhere, but the Canada goose, when irritated and aggravated and feeling put upon, can turn into a vicious attack goose. Let's listen, shall we, together to the sound of an attack goose. Oh, yeah. That's goose anger right there. That is one angry goose. But what you have to imagine as you hear the sound of the angry goose is not just the sound, but they try to make themselves look as big as possible, and they spread their wings out, and this innocent-looking little goose, remember the little goslings they were just a couple of years ago? Well, now they're great big geese, and oh my goodness, they can raise the hair on the back of your neck, let me tell you. I'm not ashamed to admit that I may have been, underline may have been, just a little bit scared by the goose attack. I wisely walked away from it, so I proved to be very cowardly when it came to push come to shove and the goose attack. Anyway, it is 14 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the, is anybody listening? Just out of curiosity, because we are all over the place today, and it all started with beavers. And we have talked about beavers before, and it's been, frankly, a couple of decades, because Amherst had an issue with beavers in the right along the walking path by North Forest, if you're familiar with it. And at first, when people would walk by, it would be really cute. Everybody would stop, and they would look at the beavers just doing their beaver thing. Well, the problem is, the beaver thing amounts to the destruction of trees. I mean, very large trees and smaller ones as well. And you could see the gnawing marks that the beaver had made. And then, of course, they build their beaver lodges. And if you back up water and water cannot follow its natural progression through the ecosystem, what do you think is going to happen to the water? It's going to cause flooding. And if you have property near a creek or other body of water and the beaver have dammed it up, you're going to say those damn beavers, literally. So Orchard Park is having an issue right now with beavers. And the problem is, and I did not know this until today. until this very day, it was Barzini all along. Now, I did not know this until today, but New York law prohibits people from moving beavers from point A to point B. The logic being, it is too stressful on the beavers. The beavers simply can't handle it. So basically, the only choices, since you can't relocate the beavers, I just want to play Leave It to Beaver sound effects right now. But since you can't relocate the beavers, the choice basically is kill them. And if you're going to kill them, please do it as humanely as possible. I'm not a big fan of drowning anything. That's not a way I would like to go out. And I don't think a beaver should be drowned. Break its neck, shoot it in the head if you must, but let it be quick. Let it be merciful. Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Okay. Or you can try to build, they've tried this before, basically pipes that go through the beaver lodge. And that way you reduce the level of flooding that might be taking place in the area where the beavers have decided to build their beaver lodge. So that is that's the situation in Orchard Park. But we started talking about a whole bunch of other wildlife that we have here in Western New York. And I'm going to call it nuisance wildlife. And look, you got to understand, to the wildlife, we're nuisance people, but we're at the top of the food chain. So we get to decide what is a nuisance and what isn't. Is, for example, your neighborhood, your property, teeming with raccoons? I cannot believe that raccoons have only come up once during today's show. And let's face it, raccoons, I'm sorry, they are super, super cute. I think raccoons are absolutely adorable. They also happen to be a major vector for rabies. And you don't want rabies. You get rabies, you are going to die. It's that simple. It's not curable, not even with modern medical science. It is not curable. You can get the vaccine if you've been exposed to rabies, but if you have been, it's sayonara, and it's not a pleasant way either to check out. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrifying. Used to call it hydrophobia way back in the 1880s until rabies became the word that was used. But I think one of the most interesting facets of today's show, number one, I thought for sure that we were going to get a lot of calls from people whose neighborhoods have been overrun by wild turkeys. And the first time you see a wild turkey in your neighborhood, it's kind of cool. Not going to lie. Look, it's a turkey. And frankly, driving along the road, sometimes I'll see a bunch of wild turkeys walking along and I'll say, oh, that's kind of cool. Look at that, wild turkeys. But if you could imagine hitting a wild turkey with your car doing 55 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour, that thing is going to do a number on your car, and it's going to do a number on your windshield. And I'm really surprised that wild turkeys have not become the same kind of automotive danger so far that the deer have become. And pretty much everybody you know has hit a deer. We've done shows on that. Many of you have hit deer. I came very close a few weeks ago to hitting a deer, but I was very attentive to my driving. It was nighttime. I was doing under the speed limit, and I'll be darned if this deer didn't dart right across the road. I slammed on, there was nobody behind me. I slammed on the brake, and I took evasive action, and that deer had no idea how lucky that somebody else wasn't driving that car, because that deer came within an inch of getting whacked, and it would have been right in the hind corners, and that would have hurt a lot. So yay me. Yeah, good. And I was also happy, by the way, that I didn't have to bring the car into the collision shop. But you people who work at collision shops, hey, you've got to deal with the effects of cars hitting deer all the time. So anyway, this whole show, first of all, it's been fascinating for me and hopefully for you. But the issue of snakes. Because I asked at one point, how many of you have infestations of one thing or another? I mean, some of you might have infestations of groundhogs. Some of you might have infestations of voles or moles or mice or rats. And we've done, again, forgive the repetition, but there was a time, and it was maybe in the past 20 or so years, where we did a whole bunch of shows on the new garbage totes that were coming out. Now we're used to seeing garbage totes everywhere. Everybody's got a garbage tote. In the old days, it used to be a garbage can, or people would just put plastic bags by the curb, and the garbage people would come by and pick them up. Well, that isn't the case anymore. And the reason we went to the garbage totes is to keep the rats from being fed. Because what do we know about rats and every other animal? They need to eat. And we were making it far too easy for them to eat. And that's why, again, many municipalities actually prohibit the feeding of birds. It's not that they're trying to be mean and nasty to the birds. Not at all. The issue is the bird seed attracts vermin, like rats, and nobody wants rats in the neighborhood. I happen to think rats are cute. I'm in a distinct minority. I mentioned before and a few other times on the air, this one little rat who had my schedule down pretty well and used to follow me to the bird feeder every day because he knew he was going to get a fine meal that was intended for the birds. He knew some was going to spill. But the interesting part of today's program for me, and I want to get more calls, in particular from those of you who live in stone houses in Niagara County by the escarpment. I cannot believe, this is a revelation to me, that we've had two callers so far who live in these old stone houses. And you've seen them if you drive in Niagara County. And they're absolutely infested with snakes. Now, I might like snakes. In fact, I do like snakes. Not going to lie. I think they're really cool. But the last thing I would want, in all seriousness, hygienic and otherwise, the last thing I would want is to be hopping in a bathtub or a shower and looking down at the drain and having a snake head start rising up. That would probably freak me out for a moment, even if I knew the house was infested with snakes. How many of you have had infestations of snakes? And how big a problem is this with the stone houses in Niagara County? Now I'm fascinated by this whole phenomenon. 803-0930, the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So what do you have, any problem or nuisance wildlife in your area? Raccoons, they can be a real pain in the butt, frankly. Yeah, they're cute, but they're also disease-ridden, and they're very destructive animals. Skunks, obviously, they're very, very docile creatures, and they eat a lot of bugs. But you know what happens when the dog comes across a skunk. It usually ends with you and a bunch of tomato juice and a bunch of other home remedies trying to get the skunk smell off of your dog. And your dog basically smells like it has just come from a club downtown. It is 526. Phone number to call is 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I see where this went. See, we've heard the sounds of deer screaming. We've heard the sounds of Canada geese attacking. And this would be the sounds of when doves cry. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So do we have any other snake-infested stone houses along the escarpment in Niagara County? Because this has been a revelation to me on WBEN. Phone number to call is 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I just cannot imagine, as much as I like snakes, I cannot imagine starting a shower, looking down at the drain, and seeing that I've got a little friend, a little reptilian friend. No thank you. even though I love the animals, would never hurt one. Joe Beamer has stopped by because for the staff of the radio station and certain, well, and sponsors of the radio station, there's a little holiday festivity going on, Joe, and I'm kind of disappointed that you're still sober.
Yeah, well, I just got here 10 minutes ago. I want to go back to the snake story, though. That woman who had the snake, she said for 20 years her mom was having that issue?
Yeah, a long time.
It would take 20 seconds, I would be putting the house up for sale. I mean, I am so scared. If I knew today that there was someone in my apartment building that had a snake, Tom, I wouldn't be sleeping for the next month until we move out of there. I cannot... Because they get out, they sneak out, and I've had a nightmare of a snake coming through the AC vent.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that, you know, it's fascinating the nightmares that people have. That's a great show because when I was a kid, I don't really have too many nightmares these days. When I was a kid, I used to have this nightmare that I'd come into the living room and there was this guy dressed up in one of those medieval court jester costumes, and he would jump from behind the chair and start tickling me. and this was a recurring nightmare.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason it went away is I realized, wait a minute, I know this person because we had, you know, in the old days, Joe, before modern electronics, believe it or not, we used to have rubber stamps and ink pads. Yeah. And we used to put the rubber stamp in the ink pad and then stamp pieces of paper with the... And we had one that was this medieval court jester. So apparently it got into my psyche at some point. But in real life, I want you to know, I've never been attacked by anybody in a medieval court jester costume.
The stamp has not come alive in real life.
No, it is not. But you know what? I just had an idea for a great movie. It wouldn't be a Christmas movie, though.
No,
at all. But I did not know that you were had that kind of a fear of snakes.
Oh yeah, snakes and rats. I just can't
see rats. Have you ever seen? I don't know if you've ever been to the SPCA and have seen the pet rats that they put up for adoption.
Luckily, there were none there yesterday. Because I thought someone was going to play a trick on me when I walked in.
No, nobody would do that because there is no upside to that whatsoever, Joe. Not a single upside. But the pet rats are kind of cute. They are highly intelligent animals. You don't think of rats as being smart. They're real super smart.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, I don't know how they do on their SATs, but they're really smart. But let's face it, nobody wants a neighborhood. I mean, you've got a child. You don't want a neighborhood that is teeming with rats.
No, not at all.
And a long time ago, when you were a little boy, we did shows on this radio station when the various municipalities like Amherst, for example, were switching from the ordinary garbage can and the plastic bags you put by the curb to the garbage totes. And frankly, it seems that idea seems to have really... taking care of the rat infestation in areas where it had been particularly onerous and heavy.
Oh, yeah. You had the rats biting through those flimsy garbage cans.
Well, some of them were metal.
Yeah.
The old metal garbage can, like in The Godfather,
yeah.
When James Caan goes after Carlo and, I'm sorry, but the fight scene by the fire hydrant is so funny because there are two punches that are so obviously off the mark. And you know, you hear the sound effect and you see the guy's head moving. He's like, no, wait a minute. That's not even a contact. But they, you know, he at one point picks up one of the metal garbage cans and the metal garbage can. Boy, talk about something that used to be a staple of American life, and we don't have them anymore because everybody has the tote. And the tote, by the way, is so much easier because, you know, they always say let's not reinvent the wheel, but the totes that we have now are so much more convenient to wheel out the trash. I trust you have totes where you live on wheels and everything is copacetic.
That's right. Yeah, you wheel it out and it's so easy to wheel back. You don't have to worry about getting trash on your hands.
This is true. And Now, I don't produce. Don't laugh, because I don't cook at home. I don't know why I have a kitchen, but I really don't cook that much at home, unless pouring a bowl of cereal is to be considered cooking. So I don't generate a whole lot of trash. And sometimes I don't take out the trash. I don't put it by the curb for maybe 3 weeks at a time.
I could see that.
Because there's nothing rotting. There's nothing decaying. It's just mostly paper trash. And I always figure, what's the point? There's not enough to even bother putting out. I like to wait until it's overflowing with garbage. And maybe it starts to stink a little bit. Then in the summertime, the rules change. But in the wintertime, it's a little easier. So and again, this is a party for staff and sponsors of the radio station only.
Yes.
Don't want to give the wrong idea to people. But just out of curiosity, for those people who are listening who wish, you know, against all hope, they wish they were able to be there. What kind of munchies and nibblies did you see on your trek in?
So far, I walked in the wrong way. So I saw the cheese table and looks amazing, untouched when I walked in, Tom. Then I was offered a chicken pot sticker, which looked amazing, but I'm just not hungry enough yet to eat. And there was a shrimp platter that went around. The bar is stocked. I know there's a glass of cab with my name on it. And yeah, but I saw a bunch of plates that I couldn't identify the food. But the two things that were offered to me so far, other than the cheese table, is the shrimp and the chicken pot sticker, and they both looked amazing.
Now, the shrimp. Can we just talk about shrimp for just a moment?
Yeah.
And other sea creatures. Were they the giant cocktail shrimp, or were they the less mutant cocktail shrimp?
These looked like your standard. They hadn't been messed with, they weren't the MLB in the 90s.
Okay, because, you know, to me anyway, the giant cocktail shrimp are to die for, and what really makes it is the cocktail sauce. Like, tartar sauce makes the fish fry for some people.
Yeah.
The cocktail sauce makes the jumbo shrimp. And it's got and the jumbo shrimp has to be served at exactly the proper temperature. I don't know what that temperature is, but there's a certain temperature where every flavor comes out, and it is delicious. And the chicken pot stickers, I mean, you're making me hungry just sitting here.
I'm upset right now that I turned them down as we're talking about it, but I can't wait till they come back around. Also, they're cooking something outside, Tom, and it smells amazing.
Actually, that would be our former vice president and general manager here at the station. It's a new recycled program that we've established here at Odyssey.
Good for the environment.
It is very good for the... No, we're not really doing that. Sorry. To my former boss, Tim, we love you. We miss you. And this is another Tim, not the current Tim, but another Tim for whom we used to work. Well, let's just talk about the alcohol situation. I'm a little bit disappointed because I'm not a wine guy, I'm not a beer guy, and I'm not real big on the seltzers, unfortunately, for those of us of the alcoholic persuasion, I guess. But unfortunately, for those of us who enjoy our hard liquor and soft living, there is no hard liquor to be had here.
I did not see any. But you know what, Tom? I know if you had made a request, I'm sure it would have been there.
No. I'm pretty sure that request would have been turned down. I'm pretty sure that had I wanted hard liquor, I would have to have brought in my own, and I would have to have smuggled it in my work bag and then surreptitiously, gradually sipped at it during the course of the day. So... are you looking forward? I don't mean to just get wildly off topic here, but it is the holiday season, and we've been talking about animals now for most of the program. But we're coming up on a very important anniversary. It is the 14th of December right now. And as you remember, last year, you and I and Jimmy Love and a whole bunch of our co-workers here at the radio station, we made the conscious decision that we were coming into the radio station and we were going to stay for the duration of the blizzard of 2022. Can you believe how quickly the year has gone by?
I can't, because there are parts of that that you would think would be one of the first memories to go that stick with me. Just little odds and ends of those days that we all spent together that just, when I pass certain rooms in this suite, they just pop right back into mind. Like, That was yesterday. I mean, it's difficult to believe that was a year ago. You know what else is difficult to believe, Tom? We're going to come up on a year, and we're going to face a green Christmas this year.
I'm not going to complain.
No, me either.
at all about that. But, you know, it's funny you mention that because every time I walk by the old KB studio, that was my bedroom.
That's right.
For three nights, that was my bedroom. And I will just never forget. I mean, we haven't really had a chance to talk about this on the air, but I will just never forget looking out these very windows. And this is almost a year ago today. Give or take. Today is the 14th, and it hit on the 22nd. But I can remember looking out these windows almost a year ago and not being able to see more than maybe 4 or 5 feet out. And the wind was howling, and the phones were jammed, unfortunately, with people who were basically begging and pleading for help. And hopefully, we got a lot of people some help. But I cannot believe the difference a year makes, because it's so tranquil out there right now, and it was so tempestuous and dangerous and deadly out there. And here we are a year later, and it's been a very fast-moving year, and it's just staggering how quickly the time has gone by.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like we're still learning from that storm. You know, we are still taking facts from that storm. Tom, you talk about looking out that window. I remember thinking when I came back here, I think I did the 10-2 the first night we were all together. Mm. And I came back, and I think I did right before the Bills game, because I know you went on during the Bills game.
Yes.
And I remember looking out that window going, I can't believe it is still like this 24 hours later.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yes, I was the one who said, I think we ought to be on during the Bills game, and I'm going to bite the bullet. I know, because you guys all wanted to watch the game or sleep. And yeah, I decided to do the Bills game, but then you relieved me right afterward. And I will just never forget that, and you will never forget it. And as Jimmy Love has said, the most rewarding Christmas I think we'll ever have, because, you know, we kind of... Again, I think we did a lot of good work then, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember that Monday afterward, I was filling in for you, and the calls that we were still getting in of people thanking us and thanking us for the coverage. I'll never forget that. And, you know, I mean, we have fun here, Tom, right? Doing the shows and being here Monday through Friday. But that is really what our job's about, what we did a year ago. And it's something I'll never forget.
Indeed. Joe Beamer, I'm going to let you grab some chow.
All right. I will see you out there.
You came here. Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Eventually. As soon as I come back from the liquor store, unless Jimmy's already taken care of that. Thank you very much. The memory that I have is of Jimmy Love and Joe Beamer going down to the deli down the hallway and breaking into the deli with the permission of the owner and making us sandwiches and stuff, because we literally had no food whatsoever. The ramen noodles lasted for 2 days. That was it. And we literally wrote down, these guys literally wrote down everything we took. 6 inches of paper towel, 3 slices of turkey. It was kind of funny.